Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
Game on 2FM.
Okay, to GNO, we're delighted to be joined by broadcaster and journalist Damien Lawler. Damien, how are you?
I'm grand, Donica. How are you?
I'm very good. I know there's a lot going on with all the leagues starting up this weekend, but can we kind of focus on Division 3, Damien? Because, as you were telling us earlier on, this is, you know, there's no room for error at this level.
Oh, thank God you asked me. I thought there was another Dancing with the Stars question coming there, Donica.
I'm on the naughty, Steph. Oh,
I was there. Can we start with Taggy Fogarty's latest display?
I'm chatting about it.
Yeah, I think I'll stick to Division 3 if that's all right. I was never as nervous in all my life. Anyway, Division 3 is crucial this year because the Tier 2 Championship will be decided on who is in Division 3 and 4 by the end of the league. And the two-tier championship got through pretty easily at Special Congress, but at ground level, an awful lot of people don't want to be near it. So there is a big onus on the GEA to market it properly, to promote it properly, to play games before major championship games, to have an all-star team, to have trips away, to have TV coverage and media coverage. And if that's the case, there might possibly be a buy into the competition. I would feel myself that for the Tier 2 Championship to be a success, the winner should automatically go into a preliminary quarter-final for the Championship proper in the same year. And I think it's possible, it's not going to happen now, but I think that would have maybe alleviated all doubts. So, where are we at the moment? Maybe Division 3 and Division 4 counties, a lot of Division 4 counties are resigned to where they are. They know they won't be challenging for a qualifier run or Super 8s or anything like that. But look at the counties in Division 3, Donica, your own county, Cork. 10 years ago, they were All-Ireland champions. How could they countenance being in a Tier 2 championship just a decade on? Tipperary, my own county, were in an All-Ireland semi-final just a few years ago. They wouldn't like to be in a Tier 2 championship either. Proud counties then, like Down and Derry, they will have aspirations. It's been probably going quite horribly wrong for them for the last few years, so they are where they are. Derry are trying to get back out of a rut. Schlochneil players will be looking to bounce back there quickly, but there are counties then like Leitrim and Offaly and Longford, and with all due respect to them, you know, they've been used to this territory for the last few years. So the point I'm trying to make here is, it is imperative for two counties to get out of there as quickly as they can and not have to contend with a Tier 2 championship this year. And that really means you can't drop points anywhere. It really means that you have to win your home games and you probably have to win your opening games as well. So I'd say never before have we seen a focus on Division 3 like there will be this time around.
Damien, let's start with your own county. Like, you've got a new manager coming in, David Power. You've Paddy Christie, who's in the backroom team. So straight away, you've got these two great football coaches. But where does style of football come into it when you think that they have to win every game to get out of it?
Great question. And, you know, for example, David Power would like to play attacking football. One of his other coaches then is Charlie McKeever, who has probably took a more defensive template over the last few years himself, Marie. He's been involved with the Tip Miners and Clonmel Commercials. So there's a kind of a, I mean, they're two friends, they're two grown-up men. They'll arrive at a kind of a compromise themselves there. I think they'll have to go for it with their home games. And I think, like, definitely against the likes of Cork and Down and Derry, they'll probably play maybe three, if not four, across the midfield area and try and pack their defence a little bit just to see can they get a grip in that game, a foothold. And from there, I think they'll be more positive and they'll break from the back. And I think any team that David Power sends out has an attacking flair to it anyway. But they play Down on at the weekend and they've brought the game to Clonmel, the heartland and the football in Tipperary. And that means they need a result, they want a result, and they want a crowd in there. Rather than being lost in Selma Stadium, Marie, where you might have maybe no more than 500 people at it. So that's a signal of intent. There's two or three Kilcoo players involved with Down and Quayle and Mooney. I don't think any of those will be involved. So that's a huge one for them. But take a county like Cork. Struggling with debt over the stadium. They've made huge strides. Conor Coonan is in charge of the footballing body down there. Brian Cuppert would work very, very hard. They're the reigning All-Ireland under 20 champions. There's huge work going on underage. I'm like a parrot saying that in the show every week. They'll want to get out of there, and no, they should. But they won't want to be stuck in a Tier 2 championship. Not a county like them that lifted Sam Maguire just 10 years ago.
When you look at the team that they've named, though, for the Offaly game, they have gone quite young, like Goran O'Mahony flanking Kieran Sheehan, Powder's back, he's in the corner. So, like, they're not really going with the tried and trusted that you'd expect for a team that are going to be in a dogfight for the next few months. They're giving you the fling, like.
They are, Marie, and I think there's two reasons for that. They have some cracking young forwards coming up. I saw that myself firsthand under 20s. They have some cracking forwards there. And their defence hasn't been great for the last few years. So I think that's why you're seeing change there now as well. You know, they've been very disappointing. They've conceded an awful lot. And I think that they're going with the younger guys now and going to see what they're made of. And I think that I think the future is the youth there myself. And it's probably... Yeah, it's a risky one to be going at it. But they've no choice. I mean, I think they obviously don't trust maybe the defence that system that they've had for the last few years. And they feel if they go with that, they'll be pierced in Division 3. So these young bucks coming in, they're used to winning. And I think they're banking on them hitting the ground running. But it is fascinating. Look at the tradition in Division 3. Cork, Down, Offaly and Derry. And I mean, Tipperary have been performing quite well the last few years too. Longford are a very, very steady team on their day. You know, so there's huge, and Louder there, they're in Leinster final not too long ago either. So I would argue that Division 3 is more competitive or tighter than Division 2 even.
Yeah, just sorry, no, I need the rebel in me needs to go back. But just to Cork there, Damien, and your view on giving young players a chance is one thing, but the pressure of you know, the league now for these guys to perform, is that an unnecessary pressure to put on these guys already, especially before we have even hit championship?
It probably is a more severe pressure this year, Donica, because of the Tier 2 net that's looming underneath them. But I would feel... So Ronan McCarthy knows his squad inside out now. I have to... Honestly, in my own view, the future of Cork football is in its youth now. They're coming good at a lot of levels underage. And I probably traditionally would have argued probably a bit early for a lot of them to step up. But the harsh reality of the situation is a lot of these guys are walking away at 27, 28. Mm. So have you noticed that they're coming in nearly just maybe 18, 19 years of age? Look at David Clifford, captain of Kerry, on the week of his 21st birthday. So pressure is everywhere, unfortunately. Mm. And I feel that the management would recognise that their future is down to youth now. And obviously you need the experience too. Like, I mean, the likes of Paul Kerrigan has been an unbelievable servant and would be an unbelievable influence around that dressing room, and it can still do a job for Cork. But what I'm saying is, to backbone it, to strengthen up the defence and to play at a pace that will get them out of Division 3, I think it's the younger legs they're going to look to.
It's either that or else they're just really confident that they're going to beat Kerry in the Munster semi-final and be up in the Tier 1 anyway, Damien.
That's a dig at the Cork lads.
That'll be unbelievable. Shots confidence to stretch too far, I think.
So Damien, tomorrow we are going to have we're going to do a big hurling preview. But just before we move on from the football, like, there is lower divisions in the hurling as well that we very, very rarely cover. And like those teams that are down there trying to get out of it, what, like, not everyone is going to get up, but what are those teams trying to achieve from their league campaigns at this time of year?
Okay, so if you draw a line from Galway to Dublin, go right across the country, basically everybody else above that is struggling. And I don't mean to be kind of flippant by saying that, but that's the truth. If you look at a challenge, the Celtic Challenge competition, the under-17s, it's a 32-county competition. It's divided into about six or seven tiers, and every county's playing at a level where they can actually progress and make progress. For example, there's a guy called Ronan Sheehan from Cork, up and down, doing unbelievable work there, and that's now starting to transfer to senior level. So what are you looking for? So take Westmeath. They're in Division 1 proper now, for example, and you know, they are really, really up against it. Shane O'Brien is the manager there. Cork, Galway, Limerick, Tipperary and Waterford are in their group. If they pinch one win there now, that's a success story. Division 2, Division 1B, shall we say, you've got Clare, Dublin, Kilkenny, but you also have Laois and Carlow there as well. And I think, in fairness, for anybody below them, Marie, to do a Laois or Carlow on it is as much as they can expect at the moment. In other words, to hold their own in Division 1... because the gap between 1B and 1A is absolutely colossal. And even the gap between 1B and 2A is big as well. So to go down to 2A, obviously if you're Michael Fennelly and you're the Offaly manager, there's only one way you want to get going this season. That's get up to Division 1B, get promotion, and to win the Christie Ring and try and stop the rot that has been kind of festering away in Offaly hurling for the last 14 years. Kerry would feel that they don't belong in 2A. They'll want to get out of there as well. Antrim, an absolute sleeping giant. You see, at club level, they can produce heroics, but at county level, they can't get it together at all. But Darren Gleeson's gone up there now from Tipperary. He's gone up as manager. They've had a little bit of good news with the fact that Caseman Park is back on track again, potentially. And the Gaelfast movement is rejuvenating Gaelic games in Belfast City, which is kind of a graveyard for GAA over the last decade or so. So the point I'm trying to make here is every county has their own little goals, their own little targets. It's all relative to what's going on there. There's another county in 2A called Meath. And in hurling, they're not a known force, but at underage, they're going really, really well. And I suppose, Marie, a county I'd really pick out would be Kildare in Division 2B. David Herity, he took over last year, his first year in charge. They had just won the Christie Ring the year before. He got a late appointment. 16 players left straight away, because they had either committed too hard the previous years or they wanted to try something new, they wanted to go off travelling. He had an awful job trying to get together a squad. But he's brought in about 17 youngsters now this time around. A lot of them are from Naas, but he's got a spread of 7 or 8 clubs around that county as well. And mentioning Naas, they won everything in Kildare from under 14 right up to senior, including intermediate and junior, to win a clean sweep of hurling titles. And there's an absolute explosion of hurling going on in Kildare at the moment. And their target should be club level to win a Leinster senior title within 10 years. I'd be laughed at for saying that, but it can be done. And look what Mount Leinster Rangers have done. But as a county, just to make progress, I think they all want to get up to the Joe McDonagh Cup. That's a really good standard. There's a small bit of attention in that competition. They're really struggling for life outside of that, I'll be honest about it. The Christie Ring Cup has nearly been run off in 7 weeks in previous seasons, and you're not going to make a huge amount of progress there. It's getting from Ring up to McDonagh, getting support from Croke Park, getting more coaches into the county, and trying to spread hurling beyond the traditional 9 to 12 counties, Marie. So they all have their own goals.
And Damien, just staying on the hurling, just this evening we saw a clip shared on social media of Ozzie Gleeson playing Fitzgibbon hurling for WIT against Mary Eye, and it seemed that he sustained an injury. If he has, that would be a huge blow for his county.
Oh, it's a big blow. He was going well, Marie. He got a good few scores too. I actually thought it maybe was the hamstring at first, but I think it's a knee injury now. That's a lot more worrying. Now, the WIT management laid fears to reporters afterwards that was a serious thing, but you know, there is a huge concern. The thing about Austin Gleeson was he did an interview not so long ago, and he kind of surmised where he's at the moment. And the last couple of years were a worry for him because they've drifted away. And as we know, Young Hurler of the Year, the past Hurler of the Year, All-Star, we still don't know his best position. And I think the point he was making was he was really, really, really going to up his commitment and determination and application, probably more than anything, and knuckle down and try and get that position for himself, which is probably midfield or centre-back. But he's been moved everywhere for club, county and underage teams. And to see him hobbling off there now against LIT, that's a worrying sign, and Liam Cahill won't be happy with that. It just goes to show you all the games that are going on right now in the conditions as well. It's hard, but even for him to be playing in the league now, from what I saw today, will be a big thing. And Liam Cahill will want to hit that ground running. He'll want a partisan crowd in Walsh Park to host Cork on Sunday, and Austin Gleeson would have been a huge part of that, Marie.
Just on that, Damien, who picks up like the medical care for him now? Does that stay with the college, or does that go straight to Waterford? How will they assess him and see where he's at?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, he's on college duty there now, so like the college medics and medical team will be looking after him, and they'll have to foot that, because the county board will rightly argue it didn't happen on their watch. Now, having said all that, I would feel there'll be a huge liaison between the Waterford physio medical team and the college medical team, and the welfare of Austin Gleeson is paramount here. And I'd say it'll be huge consultation, but if you're asking me the basics of picking up a bill, I think it'll be the WITGA department.
I'm not worried about just bill aside, but just for his welfare and him being right, of course you know, we're starting to see it in more and more sports. When pressure comes on to get players on the pitch, you know, medics can be put under massive pressure as well.
I'd imagine it's whoever can give the best
care. As we mentioned, I think that's what will happen, Rian. Sorry, Donica, I misunderstood your question. I thought it was actually the basics of the nuts and bolts of this. What will happen is immediately the county board medics will be onto the college medical team, and there'll be a plan drawn up straight away. I suppose a scan when the swelling goes down, and they go from there then. But, you know, he's a prize jewel for Waterford hurling, and I'd say all parties will have to combine. I think long term he'll have to be right for his county. That'll have to take precedence.
A story, I think, Damien, that gave everyone that is interested in GAA lift today was Pat Critchley. Just his heroics yesterday as a manager. I know everybody will be so familiar with him being such an all-star hurler and then making his mark on the GAA all through his county niche.
Yeah.
But so he managed IT Carlo, and they're going to be in their very first Sigerson final after they beat Letterkenny IT in an absolute thriller. And earlier then, he had also coached his school, Skull Crease Dree, to their first All-Ireland Under-19A basketball title.
Double jobbing.
he taught PE there for 32 years, and like Pat Critchley is just an incredible character. He's written two books, Hungry Hill, kind of a memoir of where he grew up and his sporting life, and then a more recent book called Bruno, a collection of short stories. You love this, Donica. He was in a band called Mere Mortals. They played in Fela. They were on the early bill. They were ahead of Van Morrison, about maybe 9 hours ahead of him, but they were on the same bill as him. A long time ago. I think he played hurley guitar early on before he graduated. But he has an unbelievable backstory, Pat Critchley does. He would have played basketball for Ireland only for the fact that he was a dual player for Portlaoise, winning an All-Ireland title and hurling for Laois. Laois is only All-Star for the bones of 20 years or so. He's probably a coaching missionary, is the way I put it. He taught English as well, among other things. And every year he got a class of first years in, he put up a quote on the PowerPoint or the blackboard or whiteboard or whatever it was. And the quote was basically that kids of today were spoiled. They were too used to luxuries. They didn't know the meaning of hard work. They didn't know the meaning of respect. And basically, you know, they were not a good class of people, young people. And he would always get frowns or disapproving looks from his students. But then he asked them to try and guess when that quote came about. And it went back to Socrates. And the point he was making was, there's always been a generation gap. There's always been a scenario where adults have looked down on kids and maybe not understood them. And he was making the point that, you know, just because people tell you can't do anything or because you're perceived to be a certain way, that doesn't mean it has to be. And the students loved him. And he will always maintain that most of his experiences in coaching, they've all been positive. Any negatives have nearly come from adults. So I think what he's done, he's brought Carlo, IT Carlo, to their first ever Sigerson final. I gave 4 years down there myself and re plowing away with the hurlers. And at the time, we had nothing. Like, I mean, we got to a Ryan Cup final, but the footballers were like the stars. They got nearly all the gear, all the sponsorship. But they still made no significant progress. To get them to a Sigerson Cup final is absolutely huge. And to do it a few hours after he guided the school to their first ever 19 basketball title, it just shows, like, all these years later, he's still doing it. Because he has the personal touch. He can actually deal with the human and the personal side of things.
And no doubt, and best singer on the bus home. Damien Lawler, we didn't get to chat about Aidan totally, but maybe next week. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I'll actually watch the episode and be ready for you.
Thanks, Damien. We've got homework now.